So I just want to share a little bit, if you don't mind, Pastor. My wife and I, we have pastored over 35 years. I was an evangelist prior to that. And recently, last year, we decided, you know something, I need to take a break. We had churches in Mexico, Philippines, in India. And so I wanted to kind of relax a little bit, but seems like the work kind of catches up to you. We've been busier than you could ever imagine. Because we want to take a break, help my son build his house. We're almost finished now. And believing that he'll move out of our house into his own house. And it's always a blessing. And it's a great, great time, you know, we spent and got to know one another, hating one another, fighting one another, loving one another. It's one of them things. So we are very blessed. I have four boys. They're all married, have kids, 9 grandchildren, and I live right down the street. And we've been coming by here, Pastor Rick. We stop every once in a while visiting and whatnot and saying hello. So this morning, without too much time taken up, I'd like to share a little thought with you this morning. And opening scripture, I'll get my Bible out. And it's a little different. If you don't mind. Matthew 4. Matthew 4 is the 15th verse and the 16th verse. If you just allow me to share this with you. The land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who sat in darkness saw great light, and to them who sat in the region of shadow of death, light is sprung up. The reason I picked that portion of scripture, you know, I didn't know that how long I have. First of all, do I have about an hour? He tells me I'm a lengthy preacher, and I asked him to look at a couple of my sermons and whatnot. I just love God, and I share about God all the time where I go. This scripture is talking about basically our human race or humanity. We're sitting in the region of darkness, in the shadow of death, and Christ came into that existence, or into that sphere of darkness, into the light. So if you read John 1:4, it says about Jesus, okay, in him is life, and the life is the light of men. And the reality is that most people just go to church and just want to do the church thing. But what that is really giving you an opportunity to know God. You could sit in the region of darkness. Darkness means ignorance. You could be ignorant of God, or you could come into the light or the knowledge of God. God is a great God. He didn't just save you, go to the cross to play church. He saved you to know him. Man, we are his children. Children know their parents, know their siblings. And God is an awesome God today. He will not withhold anything from you. But the reality is, most people do just go to church and play church, many different things. But God wants you to know him, spend time with him. If you read first chapter 1 of John, it gives you all the things about his, the truth, okay? And grace and truth came by him. And the light is the light of every man. Every person has consciousness of God. Satan works the opposite. He is the God of this world, means he is God of this environment. Circumstance. We are creatures of 5 senses. You got smell, taste, hearing, sight, okay, feeling. And that's what he moves through this realm to distract you. God moves by his spirit through his word. This here. I read this more than you could ever imagine all my life. In my church, anybody who is a leadership in my church, you have to read through this Bible once a year. Once a year. Casual reading. I read the New Testament 200 times already last time I kept count. It's a living word. Beloved, is God moves through your spirit through the word. Revelation comes through the word and the spirit quickens it. And God wants you to spend time knowing him. In heaven, it'd be an awful place to go to heaven and you don't know God. I'm just saying, everybody thinks about they're going to heaven, but it's more to heaven than you could ever imagine. not only the rapture, not only concerned about being in the presence of God, not only the New Jerusalem, not only the kingdom of Israel, thousand-year reign, okay? You're going to be friends with Abraham, Isaac, okay? And here it is. All these different people going to be there. It's not just here on this planet. God's got a greater future for you than this life here. If your life is so precious today, just think about it, how perfect you're made here. Okay, and he speaks in the Bible, the natural life is nothing, has no benefit. Spiritual life is everything. What glories does he have prepared for you? Man, for those who want to know it and embrace it and to live eternally with God. God loves you very dearly. And Pastor always talks about love. To me, he's one of them big polar bears that want to love you and embrace you. That's how we have huggy time. And that's Pastor. Pastor Rick is one. That's why I'm here. I said, God, why am I here? Because I never met anybody like him. Honestly, in a good way. Because he just loves everybody. And I equate that with God, how he loves everybody. But you know, the reality is, God wants you to reciprocate for you to love him back. Spend a little time. We talk about money, we talk about tithes. Every organization does that. And I challenge my people to tithe your time. Tithe your time. I know we have a devotional, read your Bible a little bit, and you pray a little bit. But ask the Spirit of God to enlighten the Word. Quicken the Word. Make that Word real to you. Apply it. Okay, John 8, what, 31, 32, it talks about the believing Jews who follow Jesus. He says, it's a continuing my Word. You shall be my disciples. We talk about discipleship, training people. The next verse says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's about the Word of God. God wants you to be in the light, not in darkness. Don't just think about God. Hypothetically think about God and just kind of reciprocate words or whatever. Get to know him personally. He wants to be your best friend. When we pray, the reason why people don't get their prayers answered, because the Spirit of God doesn't make that word quicken or make it real. He wants to make that word real to you. God's word is eternal. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Not my word. Not a jot or tittle will pass away. And God is the eternal God who loves you so much that he's willing to die for you. But it's not death he's looking for. He's looking for you to look at the resurrection. We need resurrection. Last Sunday was you need resurrection in you because we're dead. We're creatures that sinned against God. We're dead. And light comes in after the resurrection brings life, the eternal life. Did you know that in the presence of God, no one died? If you read the Bible, not one person died in the presence of Jesus. When people did die, they come into his presence, they had to get up. All you got is Nahum, Jairus, okay, Lazarus. Even 4 days dead. God wants you to be alive. Live. Life is great. You're going to step into glory from here. It's only one step into the glory. Nothing should sidetrack you. He is the priority. There's nothing more important. We look at our job, business, home, family, all this. Yes, they have their time and responsibility, but God is the one. If I could just encourage you, and I appreciate Pastor Rick taking his time, allowing me to speak this morning. I got so much that I want to share with you today, and maybe some other time he'll let me preach. Amen. But God's a good God. And I want to thank Pastor Rick and Sister Faith today for allowing me to share with you. That scripture is so important because in him is life, and the life is the light of men. And there's two insights to that, the quickening of your heart, your spirit, I mean, okay, your individual that brings a knowledge of God. The other one, you could get out of ignorance into the light. Before we could not know him, today you have ability to know him through God's grace. God bless you. Amen. Pastor Rick, thank you.
I just really like this quiet time sometimes because it's a time for us to Just be really attentive to see if the Spirit might prompt you to prophesy or to read a verse of Scripture that's strong in your heart or something, and it's quiet when it's a time that we, for those of you that are visiting today, it's a very special time to for you to be sensitive to the Lord and what He might be leading you to speak or bring a verse of Scripture, as I've said. But sometimes it's just nice when it's all the focus is on Him and we just settle our hearts before Him after the praise and the worship. And it's the time when we're most attentive, I think, to the Word and to the Spirit, because the Word is really the most important. All right. Last week we took a little break from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We are breaking it down one verse at a time, and the things that are listed, as I've said before, if many of us knew the depth and the level of God's love for us, and that He desires that we not only receive that, but be able to express it and to give it freely to others so that people will know us by our love. And I believe I seem to remember Jesus said that by this love all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And just an observation, especially now, wherever we go, I see sadness, I see hardness, people's hopes fading, things that they thought would never happen are happening, and things that they thought were going to happen haven't. And it's almost like there's a veil being dropped over us. Some you might, maybe that's not a right word, like a cloud. And we know that the enemy will always use darkness because he does his most dirty deeds in the darkness. But we know that the light of the gospel sets people free and gives them hope. But this love that we're talking about is agape love, the unconditional love of the Father that He's given us, that we're to take and demonstrate and to show that for others. As I approach my 76th birthday next month, I've been known for a lot of things in my life, some good and some not so good. But the thing that I would like to be known for the most is I strive to show people the love that the Father has shown me. And you know, I feel like I die 1,000 times a week to let that happen, because if we choose to take offense, if we choose to get all bent out of shape over what somebody did or what somebody said, then we're not really as tough as we think we are in the Lord. We're still fleshy, and there's parts of us that still need to die in order for this love to flourish in our lives. And I came down to the next one. We spent a lot of time on envy, and I had no idea that envy was mentioned so many times in the Scriptures. So this is coming back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're still in verse 4. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. And love does not vaunt itself, brag or boast. And love does not lift itself above others. And that's the part I'd like to bring today to is the next portion. Because this is something that if we're not really attentive to yielding to the Holy Spirit, it's real easy to get into letting everybody know all of our accomplishments and how great I art. We really have to keep a guard on our hearts about that. It's wonderful if I've always noticed that I can communicate better if I'm invited into the process. But if I just insert myself into people's stuff, that's not really what I'd like to do. I'd like to, and I thank you, Jim, for those kind words, because that really is my heart. But I was also saying, when you used the word polar bear, I thought that was an interesting word, because I was thinking I'm more like a teddy bear, but a polar bear will rip your face off if you don't give him a salmon. And so, but it's wonderful that when you first started visiting, and one of the first things that most people do is the love that's here is real. Sometimes we have a lot of people, sometimes we don't have as many, but one thing for sure is if people are looking to be loved and treated fairly and without respect of persons, that is a wonderful, wonderful thing, because that's when we're the most like the Father. It's when we love as He loves us. And so I'd like to talk about love does not vaunt itself. Love does not puff up or boast or brag of ourselves. I find that that's hard to resist sometimes, because we live in this world, and if we don't guard ourselves, we can be influenced by it as well. The scriptures tell us that we become like who we hang out with. And so that's a good word to watch ourselves. But listen to what this love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the power of this love, right off the first song this morning, it's the love that breaks the darkness and breaks the power off our lives. But love subdues and defeats and conquers pride. If we say we don't have any pride, we just needed to repent for saying that, because we do. And it's always present, and the Holy Spirit always makes us attentive to when it starts to rise up. You know, it's like whack-a-mole. You just think you got one thing conquered. Go down to Six Flags in the little mole box, and you whack one down and another one pops up. It just seems like our life as a Christian is like a whack-a-mole life, where our flesh is constantly, out of the five physical senses, is always wanting to rise up and take preeminence. And I don't know the reason it wants to do that. It's just very rebellious and disobedient to the Spirit of God, because our flesh, our feelings, always were top dog. And now, when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, He wants to exercise the lordship that He should rightfully have in our lives. And so there's always a battle between our flesh and the Spirit. And even our minds can get in the way, oftentimes. But love conquers all those things because it's stronger. It subdues and defeats and conquers pride. I really find that it is not bloated up with self-conceit and arrogance. I told you about, this is a long, long time ago, a speaker came that we had to come here, and he was absolutely arrogant and insulting when I picked him up at the airport, because I had a little Chevy Cavalier and it was about 110 degrees out and the air conditioning was broke. And he was insulted. And let me very well know that. And I could have said, well, there's a bus. Take that. You'll be nice and cool and comfy. But I sucked it up. And it took great restraint to want to respond to that attitude. And I was still kind of, well, it's 20 years ago, so I hadn't grown to where I am now, because now it's easier for me. I don't have to say anything, because sometimes zipping the lip is the best defense we have. And you guys know that already too. So you want to say something, but it's best not to. Because once you open the door, I don't know about you, but I find I still have room for both feet. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, good. I'm glad I got the right place today. And I hadn't been in contact with a person where I really saw that so much as that particular person that day. And it was like that was the greatest manifestation of that I think I had seen as a believer. And so it shocked me almost. But I just quietly drove, and I did make the comment, I realize it's hot, and you can roll the windows down. I don't mind the windows being down, but in 2 hours I'll have you where you need to be. And my little Cavalier, the one that took our daughter all the way out to Oklahoma with no air conditioning and then left her there when she's going to school. And I gave her the car, and it lasted her 2 more years. So as bad mouth as that little car was given, I'm glad the car didn't have a voice. It might not have been so kind. Love does not trample on others or treat them with contempt and disrespect, even though you may want to. Life teaches us a lot, and from a Christian's perspective, you can really see the difference between how maybe there's times we want to be and how the Spirit wants us to be. And that's a fine line sometimes, and this isn't easy. I did not look forward to doing this section because I can see so many times where it takes everything you've got within you sometimes to hold back. Don't say what you want to say and then say, oh, I know I shouldn't say this, but, and then out it comes. Or, oh, I know I shouldn't do this, and then you do it. It's like that's how we learn to depend more on the Spirit. The Spirit wants to be preeminent in our lives. And it's wonderful every time we get a victory. We can be sure that we had the helper to help us. And we see a lot in ministry opportunities, places we go. And I think about in the home. You know, a lot of people read these scriptures at their wedding. And sometimes, me personally, I wonder if I ever knew what God's will for my marriage or for relationships with others was going to be held to such a high standard. I don't know if at that time if I was ready, because actually when Faith and I got married, we weren't saved yet, so I had no idea what we got ourselves in. And you talked about 46 years coming. Ours will be 45 in July, so we've kind of tracked along together through a lot of things in life, just not knowing each other. But I have a lot of respect because I know how difficult. It's not always easy, but I know that it's always right. And I've learned that it's always right to do the right thing, whether we feel like it or not, because many times we won't feel like it. And to walk in this love. I think as an example, too, that just happened when Ken and I went down to Keene, and we were invited to play with the other musicians. And we know our capabilities that we can do, that our level of abilities. And we looked at those others as like, boy, these people are really professional. Why would they want us? You know, because you can think like that. And because we were looking and comparing. And on our way down in the car that very night that it was showtime. And we talked about letting the Lord settle our anxiousness about it, because we did a run through of all the songs we did. one night, and it was several weeks back, and neither of us even knew any of those songs. We felt like you, Sharon, when you come and sing, and you don't know what the words are, but your heart really wants to sing. And that's how we felt. We loved to play, but how could we measure up to the standards that these others set before us? And this thought came to me, we can never grow beyond where we are unless we hang out with some people that are beyond where we are and learn from that. And I don't know, somehow God fixed everybody's ears because we both came home rejoicing. And it was a wonderful experience because I found, I can't speak for Ken, he'd have his own words, but there were times in some of the songs I felt like that it wasn't even my hands playing those drums, because I know what my capabilities are, and they're far lower than a lot of people's, and I'm not ashamed to say that. I love to play, but it was just an amazing thing that happened. And what about you, Ken? Did you feel like you just got drawn in and just went beyond yourself?
What I truly felt was there was 11 musicians, guitars and bass guitars and keyboards and synthesizers and everything else. And when we all came together, it seemed like we were all as one.
Yes.
And it was amazing. I couldn't believe it.
And it was wonderful to have been invited. You know, they all play in different other churches in the area down around Keene and Jaffrey, but they took us in, and they didn't rag on us. They were very kind and gracious. And I really recognized that they loved us and welcomed us in, whether we could play as good as they did or not. And you know, in Christianity, this is an observance. There are people who are far much more eloquent in speaking than I am. I don't have that gift. I didn't go to a school and learn to say God. I don't know how to say that except to repeat what I've heard. And it's not in disrespect, but sometimes we can all look and compare with somebody else's gifts in the body of Christ. But ultimately, if you look a little closer, you will find that God has given you what he's given you. And it has its place in the body of Christ. And there are no lesser and no greater gifts. And sometimes those are taught like that. The lesser prophets, why were they less? Who determined that they were going to be called lesser, less than the others? If you got a mouth and God puts a word into your mouth, you're not a lesser prophet. At that moment, you're God's spokesperson. And when you speak, your words are just as powerful in your mouth as they were in God's mouth. And I find that this area about love, there's a kindness and an expression of a giving or holding back of yourself for the benefit of somebody else, to lift somebody else up. And I don't know how to describe it any other way, because when you see it, it's written so short, but it's a lifetime and it's a lifestyle that we grow into. Those who are really walking, oh yes, don't trample on others or treat them with contempt and disrespect. I was flying through an airport in India. I actually had a chance to, it was 2016, and I went to two different places that year. I went to Hyderabad, which is north and east, about 600 miles of where I usually fly into Bangalore. And so, that being the initial airport, that was where I went through all of my customs and immigration stuff, because it's your port of entry. But I had to catch a domestic flight, meaning it was an airline that just flew just within the cities of India. And I only had about 15 minutes. And I was standing in line at the ticket counter. And this bully came along. I wanted to break his legs with a lead pipe. He was just jamming and shoving right, and it was really rude, and he just spoke rude. Get out of my way, get out of my way. And he really expressed it. And he got to the ticket counter, and that's when I could have got him from behind. He would never have known who hit him. Can I just be real? Don't you ever have feelings like that? Where you just want to do something, or you just want to say something, you just want to take matters into your own hands, and then all of a sudden, you find you're really in park, and love will put you in drive. I waited patiently, and I said, well, God has arranged all of these flights, and if I only have 15 minutes, then he'll hold the plane, because that's my plane. And if he wants me to get to Bangalore when I'm supposed to be there, I'll be there. And I just was quiet, and I waited my turn. But I can't tell you, I'm just being honest about how your flesh plays against the Spirit and what the Spirit wants you to do, or maybe what to say, or even better, sometimes not to say anything. Do you know, when I get to the ticket counter, I was given row one, Seat A is a window seat, and you know moi, I love a window seat. I got to have a window seat. I like to see what I'm flying over and take pictures and all of that. But row one, first class, didn't pay anything extra for it. I always wondered what it would be like to get an upgrade. I sit all the way in the back, because I found out that the people in the front of the plane don't get there more than 2 seconds before us in the back. And we all have to go through the immigration line. And you better be nice to the guy with a stamp, or you're going home quick. And that's where learning these principles about loving, and out of that love, you show kindness and respect for others, even when you may not get it back. And that's what makes it difficult sometimes. It isn't easy. But I like talking about it because I know you're real. If you weren't, you'd have left a long time ago. And you're real. And I always feel like when we come here, we can just be open and honest with each other. And how helpful that is. And those who are really walking in true brotherly love will, in honor, prefer one another. If you go to Romans chapter 12, just before 1 Corinthians, Romans chapter 12, there's an interesting verse that pops right up. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. And it's right after, a few verses before that. I've heard these presented as motivational gifts and spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts I usually relate to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but this is in Romans, and it's talking about having gifts, prophecy, ministry or serving, teaching, exhorting, giving. Do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, without being a hypocrite, saying that we love and then 10 minutes later, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde manifest themselves. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. And then verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. I learned a lot about these things by being very highly privileged to visit some of the places I visited. I never knew that God had all of this travel and going to different nations would be in my life. I did move out of Vermont. I joined the Air Force. I wanted to see another state besides New Hampshire for the rest of my life. Living in Vermont, we never went anywhere. That was the furthest we went. And I went to a wedding. I was invited to a wedding. It was the son of a man whose other son had committed suicide because the lady that he loved had become a Christian. She lived in a Hindu home. And her father said, no, you're not marrying that Christian or that man. You're going to marry the man that I have for you. and marriages are arranged in families. Well, he was so grieved that he drank some kind of poison and died. And the love of his life, she poured acid all over herself and burned herself till she was almost unrecognizable, and she lived. But the man invited me to his wedding, and because Tom was with me on that trip, he was invited as well. And in the middle of the wedding ceremony, ding, 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 ding. Pastor gets out his phone. And he's sitting there laughing and carrying on with the conversation with somebody. And here's this beautiful young couple waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And it was like he just tuned them right out like they didn't even exist. Oh, my God, I wanted to slap him. It just... We got a front row seat because we knew the dad. He had a whole row full of people leave so that we couldn't even get in the church, and he came out and got us. And then to sit at that wedding and see how this man treated this couple that was standing before him, you know, next to the Lord, they should have been the most important people in the whole world at that time. Yeah. And having been exposed to seeing that, I'm mild-mannered Clark Kent. But I'll tell you what, you mess with my spirit and you're going to find out. The polar bear came in. Because that's what that kind of stuff does. That is so hurtful. It is so squashing people and putting them in their place. Did you know that ministers are called to serve the congregation, not the other way around? Did you know that? We're called to serve you. You weren't called to serve us. We should be licking your boot heels. If you really understood this and took it to what the Lord is teaching us, I could do a leadership seminar, and you know how long it takes? 3 minutes. You throw me out when I'm done. Jesus said, whoever wants to be the greatest among you must become the least among you and the servant of all. And then you'll be considered the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Not over there. I didn't see that. Everywhere I went, I saw the abuse of the brothers and sisters in the faith, and it was like a slap in the upside of my head. I says, well, I've not seen that over here very much, except the one guy at the airport. But I don't see that much over here. But other nations, they're treated differently. The leadership, we had leadership seminars, and I thank God I wasn't allowed to speak, because I probably would have said some things like what Jesus said. But I attended. But that wedding really did it. When they're standing before you in a holy moment, and you're about to be brought together as one in the presence of the Lord, and then somebody goes, oh, I'm sorry. You just have to wait. If it had been an important phone call and it was an urgent thing, that's different. But this guy was laughing and carrying on. And this went on for nearly a half an hour. I'm not kidding. He talked on that cell phone longer than the wedding service would have been. And so I just share this to show you examples of what this means when you put a face on it. And it's really, really, it's ugly. And it breaks the spirit of the other person. And what right do we have to do that? Did you know in the kingdom of God we have privileges and rights? Sometimes I'm wondering how many rights do we have. I'd rather call them privileges, because it helps keep me in a right place. Love will, let's see, brotherly love will, in honor, prefer one another. To consider the other person more important than myself. And that's not hard to do. I have never, in 34 years of being here, ever told anyone that came through that front door that I'm Rick and I'm the pastor of this church. Pastoring is my call, however capable I am of doing it, and the Lord enables me to do it. But Rick is who I am, that's who I've always been, and it's who I will always be. But if you really want to dress it up, you can call me St. Richard from Chester. That I'll accept. But Rick is who I am.
Ricky the drummer.
Yeah, I sit over in the corner, make a gentle, joyful noise, and I love it. But I think a lot of the experiences in my life as a believer were so contrary to my before Christ that I see things a lot more clearly than a lot of people do. I didn't have the privilege of being brought up in a Christian home or around other believers because I separated myself from them. And so when I see a lifestyle or see things in the Word, I see them very differently than a lot of other people. It doesn't mean that you don't see it, but you see it from a different perspective. Let's put it that way. I see it from the perspective of what my life used to be like to all that it can be now. And I can tell you the greater life is so much better. And learning, I found even yesterday, I got a call. Faith has just come home and getting ready to make supper. And I got a call from somebody that said, my car's not running very good, and I just barely got home with it, and somebody told me to put dry gas in it. So I said, well, I'll go up to the Jiffy Mart and get some dry gas. Well, the girl at the counter, I should have come to the Sunoco, too. Either place you could buy these products. But this girl didn't even know what dry gas was. And she felt really, really bad. And I said, can you just show me the counter? And if it's in where the motor oils and things like that are, I'll find it if it's there, so don't worry about it. And I found it in 2 seconds, but she didn't know what it was. And I came back to the counter and paid for it. And I says, it's no wonder that you didn't know what it was, because it doesn't even say that on the container anymore. It says gasoline antifreeze. But to those of us local, you know, when you get some cheap gas someplace, you're going to need some dry gas to absorb the moisture that accumulates in the bottom of your gas tank. And I took a plastic container of 2 gallons of good gas and brought it to the person and put the dry gas in and then the gas, and the car ran like a top. And I went home a happy camper. And I just think about when you get a call and you just have to put your life on hold to make this work, okay? Because you never know when somebody's going to have a need. And it might be you that will be the instrument. Be ready and don't look down on the person because they disrupted your plans or your program for the day. It can eat up some of your time, and you need to be ready for that. I address all of you as ministers of the gospel. You're ministers of reconciliation, so I relate to you on a different level than other places might, because I recognize that, and I know that's a truthful thing. We're all called to serve, and these are some ways that will help us to be more effective. All right. And it says, this is because of this love. The ones who are walking in this will do nothing out of a spirit of contention or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind will esteem each others more highly than themselves. You will find that in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 if you would like to see that in print. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Because this is a standard we're called to, we're now created in the image of Christ and learning how to walk as he walked. And we have his character, his nature, his attributes within us by the person of the Holy Spirit. And we're the vessel that contains his presence. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. I call it the evidence of God's indwelling presence, and then you can take each one and develop those. But if we say that we have his presence, then why sometimes don't people see more of him in us? And if we're not walking in love, because love is the first thing that people notice, there's a lack of it. But Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife. Now, strife is the stirring up of trouble with the attitude of, I'm going to set this person straight right now, and we're going to settle it. This is the way it's going to be. And then already the flesh has taken over and we've wrecked a good testimony. You all know how fast it comes fast suddenly, doesn't it, sometimes? Yes. And it says that shouldn't be our motive. If we're going to have interactions with people, we want to help them. We want to encourage them. Learning to put them in their proper place by esteeming them is more important than ourselves. That goes a long ways, because a lot of people are beaten down. And sometimes it just takes someone like you to lift them up. And it makes their whole day. It really does. Love lifts people up. It doesn't stomp them down and crush them. It's like stepping on beautiful spring flowers. It's brutal in what it does to the other person and how discouraging it is to them. And they don't even want to try sometimes because of the way they've been treated. This is the other side of the verses, you see. I like to bring both sides so that we can identify that, and the next time we're in an opportunity, we'll recognize it. True love will give us an esteem of our brethren, our brothers and sisters, and raise our value of them. And this will limit our esteem of ourselves. You see, when you lift somebody else up, I'm probably not going to say this right, but when we lift up the Lord and exalt Him, we diminish ourselves. And it puts us in that right place under His authority and under His leadership. And we recognize that and we yield. So when I think of following after the Spirit, I like to use the word yield, because I have a will. But the only way we can follow the Lord is to yield to His Spirit that's leading us and guiding us into all truth. So love will help us and prevent such things as self-conceit and arrogance. Love will have nothing to do with flattery and deceit. It avoids making trouble and calms angry passions. All the things that I described to you were angry passions, and I wanted to make trouble. That was my flesh. That's what my feelings wanted to do. And I chose not to, because it is a choice. Always remember this. This love, it's a way of life. And it's a choice. We can walk in it or we don't. But it's better that we learn to, because you're going to see a lot of hardening of hearts all around us as things get tighter and we're squeezed more. You're going to start seeing even more manifestations. People are going to start getting ugly, and they're not going to have any patience. But I'll tell you, when you show them love and kindness, their heart melts like putting peanut butter in a pan and warming it up. You'll see that. It avoids making trouble and it calms angry passions. Love does not seek to ensnare others or to tease them with needless criticism and fault finding. Sad to say, I've experienced getting a phone call more than once, and in the background, I hear husband and wife screaming at each other and treating them worse than the household pet. And we all have moments of disagreement, and we learn to resolve issues and get better at communication skills and things like that. But to be treated worse and spoken to worse than the family dog, there's really something wrong with that picture. I'm not saying any of you do that. I've had my own times, like the kite incident in front of the kids. I can never take that back, because once it's out the door, it's out the door. But my daughter had a kite moment, and she let me know that she was having one, and then finally she understood. And she's married now and got a beautiful granddaughter. And so I know these are, they're just short when you read them in the scriptures, but when you start taking them apart and you start really seeing the significance, when Paul talked about, you know, in verse 1, we could have all the spiritual gifts and speak in tongues and all of that stuff, and that's wonderful and that's great, but if we don't have this that he's talking about, then it's all for nothing. We're just a big show, and a puff of wind could blow us off our feet. So we're only partway through this, and it's 13 verses, so we've still got a ways to go, but just please... please hear my heart in this. I strive to walk in this, and it is not easy. But please, if you got anything out of this, and the Spirit has shown you areas, you can tweak it a little bit to help you personally make things go a little better. Just let the Spirit help you to overcome those areas of your life, because he will. If you're willing, he's already willing. And then we'll get to verse 5. Yes! And if you need prayer this morning, while it's still morning,